Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome as we come to worship today. Whether you gather in person or indeed online, we bid you a warm welcome. Or whether you're catching up a little bit later online, we bid you a warm welcome this morning. We read a couple of verses from Psalm 1 this morning as we begin our service. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But the one whose delight is and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. An encouragement right at the very beginning today to put our thoughts, our minds, our faces towards the Lord, to take this, set this time aside to specifically look to him, to set aside all our distractions and concentrate on what he has to do with us today as we gather, not only to give him praise and worship, to hear his word read and proclaimed, but to gather around his table today, to give thanks for his life, his death, his resurrection, and the truth and the power that that brings into our lives. Let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you that you showed your love amongst us, that you sent your one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this moment, as we reflect, praise, sing, speak, and listen about you, in this moment we collectively gather from a disparate number of situations and places during this week into this one place to focus our minds and concentrate on your presence, we give you thanks that you indeed are with us. May what we do in this place bring glory and honor to your name. Amen.
Today's reading is from Psalm 55. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked. For they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from tempest and storm. Confuse the wicked, O Lord, confound their speech, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work within this in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng of the house of God. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the grave, for evil finds lodging among them. But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned forever, will hear them and afflict them. Men who never change their ways have no fear and have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you.
Thank you, David. So we continue this series, O When the Saints, a series that's going to hopefully enable us to understand prayer a little bit more, the nuts and bolts of it, how-tos, if you like. Talk about that idea of making a connection, that prayer is a conversation. We talked about that concept that as a community of faith, if we desire to go, prayer is the burden that should be on our hearts as the things that we should be doing every day. We've seen that as we pray for one another, we carry each other's burdens. We see that as we come together to pray, that the atmosphere changes. Whenever God's people, whenever two or three are gathered in His name, then He will be present also. A privilege and a command for the saints of God, the people of God, to gather together to pray. So let's pray as we begin today. Father, thank You that You are already present with us. As we have already thought about, sung, and prayed for, that our hearts would be open today to what You would do amongst us. So maybe Your word and not my words, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So today our theme is when our hearts are burdened. What does it mean for our hearts to be burdened? What does that actually look like? Sometimes we hear the preacher saying, you should have a heart that is burdened for prayer. You should have a heart that is burdened for X, Y, or Z and be in prayer for that. But what does that actually look like? Surely whenever we pray in church, whenever we come together in a prayer meeting to pray, whenever we pray during our quiet time, whenever we're washing the dishes, surely is that not enough? What does it mean to be burdened in prayer? What does it mean to pour out our hearts before the Lord? Last week we thought about a little bit about Jeremiah 29 and 11. That probably fairly familiar verse that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And we considered that we needed to follow that with verses 12 and 13 as well, because actually it says there, "And you will call upon me and come and pray to me and listen to me. You'll seek me and find me whenever you seek me with all of your heart." So what does this burdened in prayer look like? Well, let me ask a question and maybe to start off with. Have you ever been exacerbated about something? Hands up if you've ever been exacerbated about something. Some people have got two hands up, okay? So that sense of there is just something that has created this deep sense of frustration within us. Maybe it's by a work colleague or a school friend. Maybe they've done something or said something and it's completely exacerbated and it's frustrating us the way. And maybe it's a family member or a neighbour that creates that exacerbation or that frustration. It doesn't really have to be a person, does it? Because actually it could be a situation where maybe we feel aggrieved or we feel that something has been done against us. It could be a moment of antisocial behaviour in our community. Whatever it is, you're at your wit's end with it. You're not quite sure where to turn with it. You're not quite sure what to do about it. You're not quite sure where the next step is. What happens then? Well, normally at that point you have a conversation. You talk about it with a spouse or a partner, with a friend, with a colleague, with a neighbour. You begin to discuss the thing that's exacerbating you, you're frustrated with. You begin to talk about it. In fact, it gets normally sometimes so bad that you talk about it with everybody that you meet. It becomes the topic of conversation that is always on your lips. Sometimes it runs on and it becomes the defining factor in your life. It almost forms your identity. Without it, you no longer feel as if you are the right person. If that issue, that exacerbation was to be resolved, what would you talk about? Or maybe you know someone a bit like that and you wonder that about them. Your heart is burdened with that topic. So how do we translate that into our hearts being burdened in prayer? Because being burdened in prayer is a bit just like that. It's so overwhelmed, so exacerbated, so frustrated, so overcome by a particular thing or person that we are petitioning God almost constantly about it. I read a great quote the other day. It said, "Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things that you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about the things that He can change." And sometimes when we're so exacerbated and frustrated about things, we have conversations with absolutely everybody, but sometimes not always the right people that can bring change into that situation. We often use the word, we're finting about it, or we're ranting about it, or we're raving about it, or we're giving off about it. But if we take that and place it into that conversation, that connection that we have with God, then we're beginning to converse with the one who can bring a change into the situation. That means there's no half-heartedness. There's no lukewarm prayers. They're passionate, they're fervent, they're determined conversations with God. Determined conversations that expect that God is going to listen, hear your call, hear your cry, and will be able to do something about it. Psalm 55 opens with these words, "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger." Take up back to that moment we had just a few seconds ago, whenever we talked about being exacerbated about a particular thing or person in our lives. My thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. But the start of that psalm, the psalmist says, "Listen to my prayer, O God, and do not ignore my plea." Now, there's something in there that almost says, that's a bit presumptuous to tell God exactly what he should do. But whenever we're so burdened, so exacerbated, so frustrated with something, the preliminaries kind of disappear. God, just listen, please. Just listen. I heard a wonderful phrase during the week, and somebody said that they started their prayers with, "It's me again, God. Listen to me. Hear my plea." The psalmist is telling us there that we call upon God, asking him to listen to us, the same as we would lift the phone and talk to a friend and say, "Would you listen to me? There's something in my heart that I don't understand, that I can't get my head around, and I need to talk it out." Verse 4 of that psalm goes on to say, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest." The things that we're so exacerbated and frustrated about, ever felt as if he just wanted to step outside of those things? Just to not worry about them anymore? "I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and the storm." I'm sure we can relate to that. I'm sure we can relate to that moment where we want to step outside of the things that are so exacerbating us and frustrating us into a place of shelter and safety. The psalmist is saying we do that, but we don't step out into any place. We step out into the place of God, into the place of connection and conversation with the one who can bring change to the situation. We begin to realize and understand and accept that it's not all about us, that there is someone outside of us who has control over the situation. If you go on through verses 9 through 15, you'll see the psalmist is pouring out his lament. That's a word we don't use an awful lot, lament. Exacerbation, it's frustration, it's lamenting about something, it's the ranting and the raving about what is going on. That lament in the psalmist is pushing him into that moment of fervent prayer. Fervent means passionate prayer. specific prayer. But he does not do this in his own strength. He recognizes that someone outside of himself can bring change into the situation and control it. And his heart is burdened before the Lord. Verse 16 says, "But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening and morning and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." I call out to the Lord, and he saves me. Evening and morning and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. That's fervent, that's passionate, that's consistent. The next week's section in that psalm describes how, in verses 18 to 21, describes how this thing keeps coming at him. Whatever this is, it keeps coming at him. He doesn't feel as if it's relenting. He feels as if it's just like a tidal wave completely overwhelming him. He begins to say, actually, it's quite personal. At the beginning of the psalm, he's ranting and raving about this big thing that's exacerbating him. And then he begins to describe in verse 13, "But it's a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship." It's personal for him. It's difficult for him. But it's still coming at him. Even though he has prayed, even though he has said, "God, would you listen to my prayer, my plea?" It seems to keep coming at him. But he trusts. He trusts with a different kind of heart. He trusts with a heart that says, even though this is coming at me, God, even though my heart is failing, even though I am exacerbated and frustrated, I am calling out before you, I trust you. A heart that is burdened in prayer is not one that is naive or flippant. It's rather one that is realistic and courageous, because it knows that the thing might continue to come, but it's courageous enough to say, "God, I know that you can step in." And it's also one that stands in the gap. A heart that is burdened is one that stands in the gap on behalf of other people in other situations. Ricardo spoke earlier about that moment where the feeling of being unable to know what to pray for or how to pray and what words to use, often the believers will pray on our behalf. And even then, if they don't, like Ricardo said, the Spirit intercedes on our behalf to Jesus. They fit together and they create the power being able to flow. We do this because it works. Sometimes, well, I'll speak from experience. Sometimes I find that in my stubbornness, that's on record, I just said I'm stubborn, I don't want my heart to be burdened for certain things. So I feel God prompting me, nudging me, pushing me. I go, "No, somebody else can be doing that. Thank you, God, that's not what I want to pick up." But yet if the Lord is nudging us, pushing us, prompting us, then we need to allow our hearts to be burdened for it. Because the psalm then begins to finish in verse 22, and it says this, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty, deceitful people will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you." And even though we feel as if And the great question coming out of all of that, I suppose, is why does good things happen to bad people and why does bad things happen to good people? But in the midst of all of this, the psalmist is saying, do you know what? We cast our cares on the Lord. He will sustain us. He will never let us fall. Even though we feel as if we are tumbling and spiraling out of control, his presence is still with us. His hand is still upon us. And in the last day, he will lift us up because we trust in him. As I prepared this today, one of the questions that was in my head as I came to the end of this preparation was this. Well, James, you're encouraging everybody to fervently, consistently, passionately pray about things, to be burdened for things and to constantly bring them before God. Surely we should just pray and then leave it with the Lord. So how do we reconcile praying, leaving it with the Lord, and being burdened to consistently pray about something? If you know the answer, you can let me know as we leave today. Because actually, that's something I think we will all wrestle with. And the danger is that the things that we should take to the Lord and leave with the Lord, we pick back up again and we take again, and we keep picking them up and taking them, picking them up and taking them, and picking up and taking them. And the things that should be burdening us, we seem to take to him once and think we've ticked the list and done it. So I think there's a balance in there. There's a balance in there because I think the Holy Spirit will nudge us and will say, this is something that's way out of your control. This is something that you need to take to the Lord and you need to leave it there. And there are other things that the Holy Spirit will nudge you with and say, this is something that you're going to be burdened about. This is something that is going to be on your heart. This is something you're going to become passionate about. And this is going to become a part of your service and a part of what it is that you do for the Lord. And in the midst of all of that, it takes it back to what we started talking about a number of weeks ago. It's the connection and the conversation and knowing the voice of the Lord, listening to it and understanding when he is speaking to us. So whatever's in your heart, give it a go. Talk it out. Shout it out. Cry it out before the Lord. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Let's pray. Father, in this moment, by the power of your Holy Spirit and the presence here with us, may you nudge us, poke us, prod us, direct us to the things that you're burdening our hearts for. Give us clarity and wisdom to know what it is that we are to be burdened for and what it is that we are to take and to leave with you. Give us wisdom in how we pray fervently and passionately for change in the situations that are outside of our control. And give us courage to do it, knowing that we trust you, that we cast these things to you in the knowledge that you're able. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we conclude today with a verse of scripture from Romans chapter 15. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.